hair on the mic. Hey, me. I got hair. Welcome back into the Gary Sharp Show. Matty Stein, Matt Verzal here hanging out with you on a Monday. Hope you're having a great one. Hope all is right in your world. Fact about the perfect temperature for anybody to live. If you don't like that weather outside right now, you are crazy. It's gorgeous out. DJ K-Dub, Wickwire, says, Verz, the 49ers Jimmy G's four TDs come back after starting two INTs and down 16. Another good young one. The next crop. Hey, you ever get perspective put on you? Like, I take things for granted often. You watch the NFL, and you're like, man, these guys are the best. I've told you guys on these air, I'm a spitting chicklets podcast listener. I highly recommend it. You don't have to like hockey. You just have to like kind of a little off-color humor, locker roomy humor. Two former guys that play off each other well, Ryan Whitney, Paul Bissonnette, Rear Admiral, the guy that kind of wrangles them in. But they were talking about quarterbacks in the league, and Bissonnette had made the point, oh, yeah, quarterback this, quarterback that. Whitney just kind of stopped, and it's sometimes the bluntness of an East Coast person, I think I need more in my life. Because Whitney was like, he said, but, said, there's only 12 people in the world that are good at that job. At 7-plus billion people with a B, there's only 12 people in the world that are good at that job. Think about that. And, you know, it was kind of a light shed moment because I took it for granted. It's like, oh, yeah, they're good. They'll be fine. Da-da-da-da-da. It'll do this. It'll do that. But, yeah, when you think about that, think about it in that manner. I go out and find a middle linebacker that I think I'd get in the top 10 or top 12, sorry. Find a guard. Willie Gault would be my argument, but Willie Gault hasn't played for a while. I'm just a guy that's just fast. Like, I could get a track guy and say, all right, you're going to run a nine all day. You're just going to run straight down the field. We're going to throw it up in there, and you go get it. Quarterback's a whole different animal, whole different being. Let's say, though. Yeah. So that was how I got the perspective on that. Russell asked me here in the Equitable Bank Zone inbox. This one troubles me. That's why I'm bringing it up. If I have an idea that I share with a listener or viewer and they email me it in, I'll give them credit. I always deflect because it was in my notes. So my notes say, how I-T-D-F, so in the, which I said in the, can Nebraska still not stop the jet sweep? And thank God it wasn't used more. It's very problematic. Should we struggle with it for a little bit at Scott? But Sean says, Rivers, I was pleasantly surprised about the outcome of the game, but when will our defense be able to stop Wisconsin's jet sweep? Isn't it the job of our defensive player on the outside to stretch the play out or turn the runner back inside? Why can't we defend this play? You can go a bunch of ways at this. Shocker coming up, so everybody prepare yourself. I'm a fan of once action comes at me, so meaning you're going to motion, you're going to bring the jet motion toward me. Whoever my widest non-down defensive line, Lamar Jackson, my guy now. He's got on the nobody cares work harder shirt. Like, I'm in. Team Lamar Jackson. The guy widest of the widest or of a defensive lineman. Okay, so I don't want a defensive lineman to do this. I don't want the end out there. But that next guy is going to look at his boys behind him, and if he's got two other receivers out there and he's supposed to be in coverage, he's going to look at them and say, I got this one. I'm going to position myself just wider of the widest. And at the snap, I'm going straight up, and I'm going to try to take that person who's on the jet sweep, I'm going to try to take their head off. Not just when they have the ball. Because, again, I can't tell. Unless he's running with his hands up, I don't know if he has the ball. He's not defenseless. He is looking straight at me. We are making eye contact. So unless he wants to start to carry the ball where his eyes are, I'm going to assume he has the ball. And I'm going to jack him. Like I said, not all penalties are created equal. Myles Garrett penalty, terrible penalty, but I think he kind of got baited into that, to be honest. But I think you're a lot less likely to run the jet sweep if your old jet sweep guy comes out and I got a 220-pound outside linebacker that's had a 5-yard run at that dude and right at the mesh point or as close to it as I can get, where the quarterback and the jet guy are meshing together, I'm going to hit him hard. I'm going to see how much he still wants to continue to run that motion. It's great if you fake it to him, you hand it to somebody else. That's my guy. I'm just going to hit you until you don't want the ball anymore or until you tell them to go the other way. Option two to handle that is to crush, so go down and displace, move, hit hard, whatever works best for you, the person on the offense that is trying to set the edge. So the person that is logging you inside, the person that is trying to secure an inside backer. So I take that same linebacker that I was just, we'll call it a blitz, that I was blitzing with off the edge. I'm going to take him down now on that guy. So as soon as he goes to motion, I'm going down on that human being, and I'm going to be outside of him so he can't log me. I'm going to make sure he stays inside because now I've taken away the guy that's going to block my inside linebacker. I think it's pretty easy to visualize. So now my inside linebacker, when he sees it, he's got to widen. So he's got to move to the side of the jet. And he's got to be able to get to that edge almost as fast as that guy has a full running head start. It's very hard to do. Very hard to do. But with rep and practice, you can get it. You know, you find guys that have similar speed. You make them run those reps when you're doing those things in practice. That would be how I would try to combat it. I'm also a fan. Sometimes, you know, people run jet sweep. It would be to all slant to the direction of the sweep just to get my guys a head start. You know, as long as the whole defense moves in unison, I still have cutback players. I'm still fundamentally sound. If they run some kind of reverse backwards, I got cutback reverse boot players. But it was something that I noted. And it was something that, even though I was having a great time watching it because they're playing hard, I didn't mind it being, you know, 14 points. Like, hey, you get a touchdown here. A touchdown, you can make things kind of weird. And we'll see, you know, how, you know, Wisconsin quarterbacks haven't always proved to be the most mentally stable folks walking the earth. If I can get to that, so I was in it, right? And then I say jet sweep. I'm like, yep, here we go. Jet sweep. It's freaking jet sweep. I work on that a lot. I would just, even with Maryland, Maryland runs that. With Maryland even running it, I would have a whole station, like a whole 10-minute station of jet sweep and all of its counterplays off of it that I know they run. But that little fast receiver, you're going to get hit a lot. Quarterbacks and fast people don't like getting hit. Not much. Running backs, some of those tell you they don't. They do. They like it. So, yeah, it was good on you for, what was that, sorry. Good on you, Russell, for having the same mindset I was. I just didn't do that. The defensive line can play a huge role in that. And I don't know everybody's view. If you want to give us a buzz on the Dingman Collision Center hotline, do that, 402-951-1620. The whole Carlos Davis deal, like with the told me he couldn't play, that hurt. That hurt. Because I think the Davis twins are immensely talented kids. I think they're immensely talented players. For whatever reason, things just aren't clicking. And it's sad. Those that have competed, I'm sorry to make this sound like it's a funeral, but those that haven't competed, you know, everybody's competed in something. Everybody got jazzed up at one time in your life. You know, some people view school as a competition. So everybody in the world has competed. In school, if they weren't competing, they wouldn't have grades. They got to measure against somebody. But that's a thing that hurt me. So I don't know how you get to that point, unless it is really bad. We would have known something by now. The whole chain of command thing of it, to have the kid come say, hey, I'm out, I'm not playing. That was so awkward to me. Because that's normally a trainer discussion, right? The trainer comes up and says, hey, this guy can't play. He can't pass the testing to get, you know, to be safely be on the field. So that was a troublesome thing to me. I was really bothered by it. Like, it put me on kind of tilt. It's either something's gone so horribly wrong that you don't even want to play the game anymore? Or you are seriously injured, which you never want to hope that. I'm like, man, maybe that's really, really bad hurt. But, hey, that's the way they go. We're going to book it here. I got to take a little pause for the calls. We'll be right back here after a short break on the Gary Sharp Show, 1620 The Zone. We got our first bragging bitch email of this great Monday. Zach says, Vers got to brag about the Colorado Avalanche and Cale Makar. Even with the two injuries to the two top players and the two top goaltenders for the team, they continue to win and be must-see TV every night. The Huskers haven't even been what I thought, and the Broncos are even worse than that. But at least I have the Lanch. Go Big Red, not a big deal. Zach's obviously a chickless guy. Did they get the TV thing switch situated out there like they had? I get it. You want people to go to the game. Like, I understand. Maybe I'm a simpleton. But if you're going to do that, jack up the advertising price. Right? Make it so, hey, it ain't us. We can't find advertisers. Because until the advertisers stop paying for it, I'd broadcast the hell out of that thing. If I'm the Avalanche, I'd be like, hey, advertising company, go get this, sell this for $1 million a game. What? Nobody wants to skip. So now it's not my fault. We can't pay for it. No advertising money. Now you got to come to the game. And when they come to the game, say, all right, 500 G's. Cut it in half. But the Lanch are a wagon. I mean, and they, hey, organization that had some success in the 90s. Was that 2000s? Well, anyway, had success a while ago. Now rebuilding itself. And think about that. You lost two goaltenders. Still in great shape. McCarr's a dude. That's a good one there, Brian. Or a good one there, Zach. We do have our couple calls here. I'll tell you what, let's go. We're going to go to the phone line, and we're going to talk to Mark. Mark, what's up, bud?
Hey, Bruce, how are you?
Living the dream, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, I thought you sounded like you were from Alaska yesterday calling us. Some remote outpost.
Yeah, right? Probably needed to be.
Hey, Burns, a couple of weeks ago we talked about the ego thing. I don't know if you remember that
call. Oh, yeah.
And I heard Jay Moore on Big Red Wrap-Up this last week. He talked about, but he used the word stubborn. You know, how stubborn were the coaches going to be about implanting what they want to do? And I like the way Scott addressed in his conference about the defense, that we've got to make some changes and all the coaches have to start looking at some different things to do. I think that's great. And hopefully they continue in that direction, Burge.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is, did you think Paul Chris, I didn't think he called an especially good defensive game against us. What did you think about that, him having that 3-4-man front at all, putting a lot of people in the backfield area?
Yeah, they...
Did it surprise you that they did that defensively?
This is bad to say, but my interpretation of it was that they seemed disinterested in playing Nebraska.
That's what I thought, too. And even yeah. The announcer said they seemed flat.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as their defense goes, I don't think their defense has much problem. I thought their game plan was good. Nebraska was able to execute against it for a while. That having somebody that just no matter where Adrian Martinez goes, that's a problem. Because he's best when he's the last one to count for. I know. They get a favorable matchup in that, but that matchup in this one necessarily wasn't the best for Adrian Martinez to get that handled. Offensively, though, it was weird to me. I thought that was going to be Taylor. I mean, he still got his, and then some of their younger running backs got a little bit too. But I thought that was just going to be, hey, you think you're – to me, I thought Chris would go full D-bag and just crush their soul. It's like, you think you're coming back? Watch this.
Yeah, and they didn't seem to go to the, and I don't know if Taylor, I haven't watched a lot of Wisconsin this year, but they didn't seem to go to the outside very much with him.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
They pounded right up the middle.
Yeah, I'd stayed in there all day, too. I loved it, but hey.
Yeah, which I think is really, if there was any strength to our defense this year, was more the middle, even though I believe Davis was out, and a couple other players.
But, yeah, Darian Daniels was out as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, yep. But anyway, it just was kind of, I think you're right, they were kind of disinterested. That's a good word about it, Matt.
Yeah.
Like, we can take these guys anytime we want to, you know?
It was kind of what I was hoping. Thank you for the call, Mark. I appreciate it, but always good to visit with you. I was kind of hoping for that. I was hoping for that if they just are kind of like, oh, yeah, we got this. Well, let's kind of sleepwalk through this bad boy. We good. No problem at all. We got this. Then you just hang around and hang around and hang around. Eliminate a kickoff return for touchdown. Eliminate a tip pass interception, which was a great play by Wisconsin. Can't eliminate. I take that back. Eliminate the kickoff return. Make a couple field goals. Now you force Wisconsin to turn on the switch. They're probably still going to turn on the switch because their culture of development is better than ours currently. And it'll be, might happen. But I'd like to see it. I'd like to see that game in the fourth quarter, 7-point game. All right, turn it on. Because then the defense, right, feels it. Yeah, like, oh, yeah, all right, we got this. Let's go. 7 points of those that were given up weren't theirs. Special teams guys have to do their job. Absolutely 100% have to do their job. Our first bitch off the phone line is coming from Monty. Monty, what's up, bud?
Hey, I got a bitch to make.
Hit it.
When are we going to start being like the 95 black shoes? When are we going to start being like the 95 offense was? I get tired of Scott Frost saying, oh, we made this, we made that, we made that. You know what? Devaney and Ogden, when they went in the locker room at halftime, we came out. If we were down 28-0, Devaney would find a way to win the game. Scott Frost, I don't know. I like him as a coach, but I don't know. Why we can't improve instead of why do we got to accept this losing crap all the time?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you, bud. Getting you off your chest there. We're hovering over the dumper. Well, Maddie was moving back there. I mean this with all due respect. So I'm going to read you a couple sets of names. One of them, nah, I probably better not do that. I'll just tell you right now. I'm not going to bust roll in, but you're educated people. You can do your own thing. Wistrom, Kelsey, Rucker, Tomich, Dwayne Harris, Dante Jones, Travis Hill, Trev Alberts. So there's eight, what would now be called an outside linebacker, but those were eight defensive ends when I played at Nebraska. Rainmakers, Perella, Peter, Saltzman was good. Those are your four interior guys. Steve Warren. You're factoring all those in. A little different. Ellis, Coleman, Farley, Stewart, Anderson, Coleman. And again, if I left any of my buddies out, it's kind of hard to sometimes think of these on the fly. There's a difference. Williams, Miles, Brown, Finley, Minner, Veland, Kareem Moss. Kareem Moss way underrated. Kareem Moss is way good. There's a difference in it. That's why it's my emphasis point. This thing is just give all you got. You may not be as talented. Who gives a flying flip? You're not as talented. Okay. I can outwork you. I can absolutely 100% outwork you. Yep. Sorry, Monty. It is what it is, brother. I thought we were going to talk about pass pro and stuff like getting pressure, like pressure packages. Like, yeah, we need to blitz. Send the blitz. Phones are buzzing here. You know I like talking on the phone. So we're going to head to one of the sponsors of Husker Hangover, the one and only Doug Nodgaard. Doug, how are you, buddy?
Good. Are you having a better day than yesterday?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I gave Matt a high. I got to give Matt a high five yet for pulling that off yesterday. We had chaos going on.
If you had hair, you would have pulled it out.
Yeah, probably. Genetics took care of that for me, though.
All right, so we're going to play a what-if game. I heard Damon called it this morning the ankle-biting tackling technique.
Uh-huh.
No arms. I do think it's safety. I probably call that person out, but if Noah Pola Gates is healthy, or Deontre Williams, or the guy that got hurt early in the
mm-hmm.
year,
yep.
and he was a starter. I mean, does this same player who has one more year left, I won't single him out, but everyone can figure out who it is. Is he going to play that way if his job is on the line, or do you think that's just the way he's wired? Because on that 11-yard touchdown run by Taylor, it was just an absolute joke watching what he didn't do and what he did. When is somebody going to square somebody up and tackle him correctly? And I'm not talking helmet to helmet or anything like that. I can't believe the coaches teach that, but how do you tolerate it? Maybe give Eli Sullivan a whirl. I know he's probably not as fast as whatever, but he knows where to be, knows how to play. And then just watching Nate Gary play yesterday for Philadelphia reminded me that if they're coached right, and the one thing I'll give Fellini, I think he could coach. He just wasn't a good CEO. So I'll hang up and listen.
Hey, thank you, Doug. Appreciate you, buddy. It's desire, right? People, you got to get to the point, you got to break down, you got to tackle. Done. You're making a decision to dive early to get there, because either you don't want the pain of it, or you don't know if you can make the play. And I oversimplify things sometimes, but I got a simple brain. I try not to complicate things. If you want to make the tackle, you're going to move your feet, you're going to get in place, you're going to be fine. Maybe it's fear of getting trucked. Maybe it's fear of just getting run over. So you kind of pick which way you want to do. You want to go for a free piggyback ride for 10 yards, you want to get down and get trucked, and he might fall over you. Gonna give everything for the squad, or you're gonna, if you're worried about your boys giving you a hard time in the locker room after the game, defense probably into place for you. Everybody's got. I got by a guy from my own hometown. Mike Anderson hit me so hard one time. We run a play real good, and then Coach Steele said, run it again. Worst words you could ever hear when you're a scout team redshirt freshman. So I know the blitz is coming. Like, I know Mike Anderson is going to twist. I know he's going to run right in my face. I've gotten back. I've prepped myself. Then reality hit. Mike Anderson's strong. Mike Anderson hit me so hard, the pads flew out of my helmet. My helmet, chin straps, the linemen, we screwed them all in our helmets so they just stay hooked all the time. They didn't have to adjust nothing. They was there. That broke. I did a somersault backwards. Thanks, Nance, for putting me in gymnastics so I could look cool doing it. Backwards. Got back in the huddle, everybody was like, man, he got you. I was like, oh, yeah, he did. I was there. I lived it. Can you get my ear pad? It's over there behind the goal line now. Please grab that. Yeah, God. Everybody gets God. That's the way life goes. That's what happens. We got a little break to take here. We will come back and have more calls here. Kool-Aid Steve, Daniel, hold tight. We'll be back with more Husker Earth Cheese. We'll be back with more Gary Sharp Show, 1620 Zone. Back at it, grinding out a Monday here with you fantastic people. Always good hanging out with you. And I always like to say that to you. I think this is our first brag on the email. Brian says, Verse was able to go to the Vikings-Broncos game in Minneapolis yesterday with my son and dad. What an incredible second half run, and fun to see a game live, at least for a Vikings fan. It was awesome. I haven't had a chance to see any of the replays at the end of the DVR, but since we didn't get home until late last night, I wanted to get your thoughts on the last three or four plays of the game. It seemed the first half was riddled with flags, but the refs didn't throw any flags for pass interference at the end of the game. Do you think there should have been? There are crews, and congratulations. That's an awesome thing to you guys out there that have your father still alive and your son's, with you. Have at it. Please tell me the stories. You guys don't know how therapeutic that is for me, that cool stuff like that happens. Because I miss doing stuff like that with my old man. So, yeah, that's please send those in if you haven't. Brag the hell out of those. And take advantage of everyone you can. Don't ever, whatever it is, go do it. Go do it. Yeah, I think they did. I think there were pass interference that could have been called on that. I think they swallowed the flag, as does happen sometimes. When you get rules, especially pass interference, it can be left up to interpretation, and that's kind of how it goes. But, yeah, awesome for you guys. Glad you had it going. I'll tell you what, I'm going to get this guy. We're going to Daniel first. We're going to let Daniel brag. Daniel, are we doing both or are we doing one, Daniel?
Hey, Bruce, how you doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. So I know you're a guy who likes stories.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna reminisce with you. So let's go back to 1997.
Okay.
Big old clash of Gretna versus Elkhorn.
Oh yeah.
And I was in eighth grade.
Yes.
And so was Jay Moore.
Awesome.
And this is a little Bible story of David and Goliath. I'm David, and mm-hmm. he's Goliath. And at that time, I think Jay Moore might have been, you know, 6'8". 350 pounds in my eyes. And I was about 5'5", 110 pounds soaking wet.
Right.
Anyways, he was a linebacker, and he dropped back in coverage, and I was a receiver, and I ran about a 5-yard out, and our quarterback threw a pick to your boy, Jay Moore.
Uh-huh.
And Jay Moore comes trucking down the sideline, and the only person between him and the end zone was me.
Yep, and do you remember the first thing that popped in your head?
I'm going to stop him.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, continue.
That was my first, that was my first thought. I'm going to tackle him.
Yep.
But I knew it was going to hurt.
Yep.
And so he hit me. I think I died for about a second. I but I glued myself to him.
Yep.
And I would not let him go. And he carried me for about good, 10, 15 yards. But I tackled him.
Yep.
By myself. And so that's my brag. And after the game, my dad came up to me and said, "Oh, my God, son, I thought you died."
You say, "Dad, me too."
So my bitch is you said something earlier. You don't know if it's maybe, these players are afraid to get trucked. But it's not just a player mindset. It's a team mindset.
Yeah.
These guys aren't going to score on me. I'm gonna hit them. And then I'm going to wrap up, and I'm not going to let go until they're on the ground. And so that's kind of my bitch. We see this over and over again on the field. They don't want to wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, I don't know if it's because they don't want to get hurt, but sometimes you got to take a licking to make the play.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that?
100%. But hey, thank you for that. That's a good story. I'll make sure I tell more to stop being a bully.
Oh, yeah.
When I see him. Now he's a pro golfer, though. He's a golf guy. He's a little fancy golf guy now, so we don't have to worry about him. Thank you, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. Shoot the breeze with him and tell him the story.
Will do. Will do. Thank you, buddy. Mentality shift. I don't think I'm into the everybody camp. I think there are some guys out there that want to go. Guy that popped to me more than one time in that game is Will Honus. Will Honus squared Taylor up a couple times in the hole. Maybe still gave up a yard or two, but was in it. Face to face, eye to eye, chest to chest, however you want to do it. He was there. I have a hard time lumping it into a team when I can see like some guys getting after it real good. But yeah, Honus is starting to come around. Yeah, I thought he did a nice job. And maybe I just caught the few plays that was good. I don't know, but that's where I'm at with it. Everybody's favorite. We're going to head back to the hotline here, the Demons Collision Center hotline. But we got a little second. We're going to talk to the one and only Kool-Aid Steve. How are you?
I'm doing damn good. How about yourself?
I'm good, buddy. Another day above the dirt.
Yeah, I'm going to brag. I won money betting against Nebraska 4 straight weeks.
Hey.
Thanks to that outstanding tackle at the 1-yard line. I thought for sure that was a touchdown. But he dropped him where he stood. Now, got a couple of questions. You have told us a story about in practice snapping the ball over
Behringer's
somebody's head.
Yes.
And you feared right then that was your last snap and you were done. Right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Why don't these players have that fear? I'm so tired of seeing Boodle or Poodle or whatever the hell his name is not make a tackle, not make an effort. Why can't they just jerk his ass out of there and say, if you don't have the desire, son, we'll find somebody who can?
I'm with you. I know what you're saying.
It's infuriating for us fans, for guys that live during the glory years. It has to, I mean, you have, your head's got to explode to see the gutless transformation on some of these guys. That they it's like they just don't care. And then Boodle has the cojones in the press conference to say, well, these last two games, you know, we really got to bear down. What the hell have they been doing for 10 games?
No, yeah, I agree with that one.
You know, come on. Why doesn't Frost just say, now, this is what I hope. How many freshmen have two games or three games left on their red shirt?
That's somebody above my pay grade. I don't know that answer.
Maryland's the worst team on our schedule, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we play McCaffrey the whole game? He's got two games left, right?
Uh-huh.
Play him the whole game. See how he does. We're not learning anything from Adrian, right?
Well, I think though, you are learning something from Adrian. I think...
Okay, what did we learn?
I think
he did have some nice throws out of bounds.
Uh-huh.
I think
the lack of help in the receiving core is, and then schematically they're not able to get open. I mean, but Wisconsin designated their best linebacker to just sit in the middle of the field and watch him. Like that's a
right?
big advantage. Like not a lot of people can do that.
And cause one turnover because of that. There
right.
should have been another one along the sideline.
But make tackles, see that pressure. It's tough.
I just don't see, this is almost his second complete year in the program, and I don't see improvement.
Right.
And really, wouldn't you say this was his best four quarters of football throughout, you know, the season?
Yep.
And he completed what, 54% of his passes, one touchdown, one interception, and we still got beat by 16.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best we've got
so far this year. Yep.
What do we have to look for? And like I said, I don't think he'll finish his career here. I think he'll, you know, somebody will beat him out, and then he'll transfer.
Yeah.
But if that's the best we have to look forward to, one other quick question.
Hold on, but I'm up against it here. Go quick. You got to go. I got to get to break.
Why didn't the guy in the first half that was averaging 10 yards a carry the ball more than three times in the second half? I'll listen.
Yeah.
Thanks
Stevie. To the comment on that, well, I tell you, we'll have some time after break. Real quick, though, because this one was important to me. French Hat says, curious the D players mentioned in the 90s, nobody ever mentions Keneally, rarely mentioned. Was he not very highly thought of? Terry was held in the highest regard. He's just so unassuming. He literally just went about his business and did his thing. He should be up in the pantheon. He's one of the best that's ever been up there. And Brian says, I'm muting the show anytime someone mentions the 90s or the glory years. So Brian's on board.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Break time. We'll get to some of the things that Steve said on... Oh, Stevie boy, he gets him coming out of the woodwork. Doug says, verse. I agree with Kool-Aid Steve for once. It's just a matter of time, though, because this guy never sees eye to eye with Steve, he said. So, no improvement by Art Martinez all year to Steve, but he also said it was his best four-quarter game all year. Yep, there's the brilliant Steve logic.
Okay.
There you are. I kind of liked what was going on in the Wisconsin game, even in a loss. it was reminiscent. You know, you clean up the little, right? Clean up the holding the ball in the pocket too long. You're going to play a team that can't. They could probably put a spy on you, but it's not going to be one of the best defenders in the Big Ten spy on you. You run the ball with Mills. The Mills answer, I don't know. I don't know the rotations. I don't understand them. I would have. Things were going well. You can take this for gospel as we're playing at Scut and we run a play and, you know, it goes well. The first words out of my offensive line, big dumb coach mouth, are run it again. But that's how I was brought up in the game. We ran our counter trap scheme against a team 8 consecutive plays. Like, we ran the same play 8 times. I'm going to run this until you prove to me you can't. So with Mills having the hot hand, I understand variety, and people got to put the big offensive brain up there. And maybe I run it one play twice, and it doesn't work good. The second time I get, okay, you can make adjustments that fast. But I'm going to test it just to see. I'm going to test it to see what happens. The Mills one, I'm with Steve. That one baffled me. The Martinez one, I'm not. If you can get that kind of start that you had in that game against Maryland, you're going to win. If you play the exact same game you played on Saturday, next Saturday, you win. And now you've at least given yourself a puncher's chance. You may be out, come against Iowa and throw some Hail Marys, catch them off guard, get them to do some things they don't want to do. Because they're going to probe. I'll tell you, Maryland's going to run jet sweep and see if you got that figured out. See if you can come off the edge and stop that. I had a couple of my suggestions. But they're going to see. If you do win that, I was going to come out and see if you want to punch all night. Seeing if you're ready for your offseason or if you want to try to fight for one more. That's what they're going to want to figure out. And they're going to do it in a manner where two of their big boys are going to hit one of your big boys. I'm going to slide up to your linebacker until one of your big boys quits, one of your linebackers quits. Rinse, lather, repeat. Super simple scheme. Very fun for me to watch. You got a running back that stays a leg behind. When I stays a leg behind. If we're running a play to the left, the running back's going to keep his left leg on that backside offensive lineman's right leg. If he doesn't see anything to cut back on, he's better floor it and go to the play side. But if he sees something to cut backside, he puts that foot in the ground and he gone. They're good at it. They do it well. It's fun to watch. So that's where you're at. Stop the jet sweep in one game. Get ready to punch in the face of the next. See what happens. But no, I would not pull Martinez. McCaffrey does give him some things. I'd give him, I think you're going to create a bunch of drama. You do the, hey, I'm going to give you a series thing. But now, game plan to play the way you did, we're going to be in good shape. We're going to be in real good shape. A lot of smoker recommendations here. I got another bitch coming in from Kelly. Kelly says, brag. This is a brag. Kelly says, Verz, best brag in the world. My wife just gave birth to our beautiful baby girl, Ashley, and it's the best day of my life. I will brag about it until the end of time. All right, so Kelly's done. Kelly's wrapped around. No, congratulations. That's an awesome thing. That's a good brag to have. It's a very good brag. Well, Maddie just killing it back there. Email here. Verz not bragging or bitching. Just mainly concerned and tired of putting my palms on my forehead every time Nebraska special teams comes on the turf. Pickering, missing field goals, does not help. Momentum shifts, change, things like that, seriously affecting the outcome of the game. And then why are we not kicking the ball into the end zone more? I don't know how many times they kicked it in the end zone, so I don't know if that's true or false. The field goal thing, you got me, bud. Spoiled in my life to be around guys as kickers that literally – everybody else in the world is yelling like it's 4th-and-1. are yelling to go for it. Some of our guys that I was around there at the time, like, kick it. It's like, bro, it's like 58-yard field goal. Like, kick it. I'll make it. It's a confidence thing. If it's a swag thing, they got to get it right. They got to get it figured out. Probably something you can't recreate real easy in practice, unless you literally, like, we'll do them. I'll throw stuff at the kickers when they're standing there. I haven't had to do it this year. Our kicker's pretty mentally tough. So you got those guys that sometimes it gets to them. And then your mechanics break down, you got the pull, you got the push. A lot of things can go wrong in a kick. If I had an easy way to do it, I would do it. I would say your last couple games here of the season, potentially, unless the perfect storm comes up, I would unload everybody on there. I'd have Nelson, Snodgrass, Sullivan. I think Paul Gates is hurt. Anybody, Hickman, Heinrich, I think Heinrich's healthy now. He'd be another one. I put those guys out there and say, all right, go be football players. Let's go make this thing happen. Let's go make this thing do what it's supposed to do and get all these things under wraps. Because where they're at now with the perceived, and this was where I would know where Nebraska was as far as depth went, was I base it all on special teams. When your special teams are good, it means you got depth. You got good players behind good players. Shoot, I wouldn't even be opposed if you had a bunch of sure tackles, I'd put starters out there. Maybe that's the avenue. But you do also probably have to start throwing some of these guys a bone to get out there and see if they can handle live bullets and see if they can do what is needed. If they're on those kickoff teams before already, my bad. All I follow is the end result. Did the play get stopped? Nope. Okay. Who popped out to me on that? Sullivan. And the fact the kicker was missing field goals. Todd asks, let's go out now. We're taking a break now. I'm going to come back. I'm going to answer Todd's question. Todd's got a great question here. And we'll get to that when we return here on the Gary Sharp Show, 1620 The Zone.